Hello and welcome to The Top Story, a podcast with the headlines of the day from our correspondents around the world. I'm Do Hongyu. Coming up in this edition, the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees has pleaded to remain operational in Gaza. U.S. lawmakers have examined Boeing's safety culture and manufacturing quality in the wake of several flight safety incidents. Data shows that China's industrial economy got off to a good start in the first quarter of the year. We begin with the Palestine-Israel conflict. A Chinese envoy to the United Nations has highlighted the severe impact of the month-long assault on Gaza and its toll on civilian life, especially youth. Ambassador Fu Cong said many of the young people could have become backbones of society, but the relentless fighting has shattered their dreams.
To save succeeding generations from the scourge of war is the purpose of the UN. It is the responsibility of the Security Council to help bring peace to youth in Gaza. It is imperative to fully implement Resolution 2728 and achieve an immediate ceasefire. It's also necessary to lift the blockade on Gaza to expand humanitarian access and give the population their basic means of survival. Regional peace and development can be achieved only when security and dignity of youth is ensured.
The Security Council held an open debate on the role of young people in addressing security challenges. Fu said domestic tensions and persistent social unrest pose threats to regional stability. He also said the root causes of migration and terrorism must be addressed by improving socioeconomic conditions in underdeveloped regions. At a Security Council meeting, the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees has pleaded to remain operational in Gaza. Israel is calling for it to be dismantled, accusing UNRWA of being an arm of Hamas. Jody Jacobs reports from New York.
It all started with diplomatic negotiations and discussions ahead of the UN Security Council meeting. Then, a minute of silence for all UN humanitarian workers. Finally, to the order of the day, a discussion about the future of the UN Relief Agency for Palestinian Refugees. Addressing the council, UNRWA's head, Philip Lazzarini, said there is an insidious campaign to end UNRWA aid operations in Gaza.
6 months of relentless bombardment and a merciless siege have transformed Gaza beyond recognition. Homes, schools and hospitals have been reduced to rubble under which countless bodies lie. Children are bearing the brunt of this war. More than 17,000 are separated from their families, left to face the horror of Gaza alone.
Lazzarini is concerned about calls to dismantle UNRWA, saying this is a concerted effort to bring further suffering to the Palestinian people.
It is facing a campaign to push it out of the occupied Palestinian territory. In Gaza, the government of Israel seeks to end UNRWA's activities. The agency's requests to deliver aid to the north are repeatedly denied. Our staff are barred from coordination meetings between Israel and humanitarian actors. Worse, UNRWA premises and staff have been targeted since the beginning of the war.
UNRWA is Hamas, and Hamas is UNRWA.
Israel insists UNRWA has become an aid to Hamas, and it's calling on countries to stop funding the organization. The UN said it's concerned about what it calls dangerous rhetoric in the region. This after Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on Wednesday insisted that Israel will make its own decisions about how to defend itself.
Rhetoric is also dangerous. And we are very concerned, and we continue to call for maximum restraint, as the Secretary General said, where the world, let alone the region, cannot afford another open conflict.
And as the situation in the Middle East intensifies, so too the debate around admitting Palestine to full membership of the world body, a request the Palestinians want voted on sooner rather than later. It'll be up to the Security Council to decide whether to grant Palestine full UN membership. A vote on a draft resolution is expected to take place this week.
That was Jody Jacobs reporting on debates at the United Nations over UNRWA's future. Turning to the Americas, U.S. lawmakers have examined Boeing's safety culture and manufacturing quality in two Senate hearings. Both are in the center of a crisis following several recent incidents. Lawmakers also plan to take a better look at the Federal Aviation Administration and whether it's done its job to protect passengers. Nathan King has more.
The Senate Subcommittee on Investigations really looking hard into what's going on at Boeing, especially since that Alaska emergency landing off that door came off earlier this year. But there have been other instances as well, and they've been listening to people who have been working in and around Boeing, so-called whistleblowers. I mean, Sam Selipour, quality engineer at Boeing, really had some incredible testimony. He basically said that there are manufacturing defects in Boeing's 787 Dreamliner and 777 jets that could lead to the breakup of these planes in flight.
I'm not here today because I want to be here. I'm here today because I felt that I must come forward because I do not want to see another 787. I do not want to see 787 or 777 crash. I have serious concerns about the safety of the 787 and 777 aircraft, and I'm willing to take on professional risk to talk about them.
He basically details a whole load of safety issues, and he was told to shut up at the company and received threats after notifying the company. He also says a lot of the components are missing, suppliers are bad, and just basic work needs to be done. There was another also testimony from a former FAA official and others. One person not testifying is John Barnett. He worked for Boeing for 30 years and had been cooperating in a lawsuit against Boeing as another whistleblower. He was recently found dead, apparently by suicide, because of he felt a lot of pressure on him, according to those close to him. Boeing's, all its processes are under review. Its management is changing, but federal regulators could come down hard. But the thing is, federal regulators are in the dock too, because essentially they outsourced out a lot of the safety measures to Boeing about its own safety. This will probably change, but what really needs to change for Boeing to remain globally competitive, of course, is its reputation. And that will take months and years to repair, if it can.
That was Nathan King in Washington. Hawaii state officials have released the first phase of an independent analysis regarding the deadliest U.S. wildfire in over a century. It includes discussions of preparedness efforts, weather conditions, and the impact on infrastructure. Alistair Bavistock has more.
8 months after the wildfires on the Hawaiian island of Maui that killed more than 100 people and destroyed the historic town of Lahaina, the state's attorney general has delivered an after-action report. Anne Lopez stated the goals of the ongoing investigation into the deadliest natural disaster in state history.
Being able to understand the facts and the whys so that we can obtain recommendations about best practices for policies and procedures so that the state policymakers can move forward in a way so that this absolutely never happens again.
The first stage of the 84-page report outlines how prepared Maui was ahead of the fires, but not the cause, which will be a separate study conducted by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms and Explosives. It recommended a need for more firefighting equipment and an evacuation plan for residents. There was also a timeline laid out by the Hawaii Fire Safety Research Institute, which has worked in conjunction with the Attorney General's office.
Key to the timeline is understanding how, why, and how fast the fire progressed. You could see the fire move quickly over the bypass into the community, driven by severe downslope winds. As it spread, it exposed many houses on both sides of Lahaina Luna Road and transitioned into an urban conflagration.
The wildfires caused an estimated $6 billion of damage to the island of Maui, detailed in the report.
The report is 375 pages. It's a narrative. So this report is designed, too, to be useful to everybody, to organizations that want to study this further, to residents, whoever. What this report doesn't capture is the loss, the people, the challenges that they've gone through, the pain, the sorrow. And some of those things will be analyzed later. But you need the facts first. That's the most important part right now.
Hawaii's Attorney General said the investigation is not about placing blame, although phase two of the report will go into the failings of public officials and possible charges of negligence. It's due to be released later this summer.
That was Alistair Bavostock reporting. In Asia, millions of voters are set to cast their ballots as India's general election begins on Friday. The election process will cover the entire country in seven phases. The results will be announced on June the 4th. Radhika Bajaj has more.
By all indications, two-time Prime Minister Narendra Modi and his party, the BJP, look set to be voted in for a rare third term. The party's election manifesto guarantees delivering a Viksit Bharat, or developed India.
Viksit Bharat.
The manifesto strengthens the four main pillars of a developed India: youth empowerment, women empowerment, poverty, and farmers.
The fragmented Indian opposition claims rising inflation, unemployment, and rural distress show the Modi government's failure in delivering on such promises. Critics also allege the misuse of government agencies to target opposition leaders and flag questionable political donations made to the BJP. All pre-poll surveys, however, point towards most voters trusting in Modi's leadership.
There is disillusionment for sure. There is discontent because incomes have fallen. Most of the surveys are showing unemployment levels are high. But is that high enough to actually translate from discontent or disillusionment to anger? That is something which the opposition will need to do. You have to create an issue out of an issue. You have to make it a political issue. And that's where perhaps the opposition has been lacking in efforts.
The inauguration of the Ram Temple in January, a long-standing promise to the Hindu majority, is likely to help the BJP. Opposition leaders have been vocal about the right-wing party allegedly erasing India's secular roots.
India's general election is the world's largest democratic exercise and this time around also one of the longest. While many expect the results to be a foregone conclusion, surveys suggest that a large chunk of Indian voters sit at the fence till the very end, and it'll be their ballot that'll decide who wins and with how much margin.
That was Radhika Bajaj reporting. In China, data from the Ministry of Industry and Information Technology shows that the industrial economy in China got off to a good start in the first quarter of the year. Liu Jiaxing has more.
China's industrial sector has seen a steady growth in Q1 2024. Officials say the total added value of industrial enterprises above the designated size grew by 6.1% year-on-year in the first quarter, 1.5 percentage points faster than that of the whole of 2023.
Electronics, chemicals, automobiles, and other industries have played a significant role in driving growth. Major industrial provinces and cities played a leading role as well.
Among the 41 major industry categories, 37 have maintained growth momentum. The major industrial provinces such as Jiangsu, Shandong, and Zhejiang registered a growth rate above 8.2%. Consumer goods manufacturing picked up by 4.2% year-on-year, reversing the sluggish trend since April 2022. The growth of the information and communications technology industry also stands out.
As of March end, a total of over 3.6 million 5G base stations have been built. Six out of every 10 telecommunication users are 5G users. The integrated application of industrial internet has expanded to 49 major categories of national economy.
So far, nearly 10,000 digital workshops and intelligent factories have been built nationwide. Officials say they will keep accelerating deep integration of artificial intelligence and manufacturing, as well as promoting low-carbon development for future applications.
That was Liu Jiaxing reporting. Before we go, a recap of today's headlines. The UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees has pleaded to remain operational in Gaza. U.S. lawmakers have examined Boeing's safety culture and manufacturing quality in the wake of several flight safety incidents. Data shows that China's industrial economy got off to a good start in the first quarter of the year. That's it for this edition of The Top Story, a podcast that brings you world headlines every weekday. For more news in politics, business, sports, and culture, you can subscribe to The Beijing Hour, a one-hour podcast news magazine program. We welcome and appreciate all ratings and reviews. I'm Dong Yu. Thank you for listening.